Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Sounds fascinating.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's a Monday, and boy, the weather outside is frightful. So, hopefully you have an umbrella, and my oh my, you're doing your best to stay dry, because it was nasty coming in. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel, the usual suspects, with some special guests who brought a lot of special food as we continue to roll on with the usual suspects. Nicholas, did you have trouble driving in today? You drove in early, so you were good, right?
Yeah, they didn't start until, I think, post 11 o'clock. I mean, it was way after I got to work.
It was horrible for me.
Yeah, me too.
It was... And, of course, every idiot in the city wants to still stay in the left-hand lane but go 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it's going to have to be, like, I'm going to have to be floating in order for me to slow down. So I'm just like, oh, getting angry.
But here's my biggest thing. Because either people are going slow in the left-hand lane or they're going 90, weaving in and out of traffic, like it's dry as a bone outside. And... I forgot to tell you this, Nick, but the last time, Lisa and I were going down 59 to the Astros game when it was pouring, and I looked to my right and I said, there's a woman with a child, and she's going 90. And I'm like, what is she doing, right? Now, no less than 5 minutes later, out in front of us, I looked, the car was going sideways, slid across four lanes of traffic.
The vehicle with the child.
Yep, did a full 360, and by the time we got up there, they were in the emergency lane. Somehow they didn't hit a single thing, and she was laughing. I was like, you should be thanking and praying and being thankful to everybody, whatever you pray to, because that was ridiculous.
That's my biggest fear is, like, because I was weaving in and out of people and, like, flashing my lights and honking, like, get out of the way. It's just rain. And then my biggest fear, because every once in a while you'll do that, like, someone's in the left lane going 40, and I'll speed up around them, but then you hit that water pocket, and you're like,
whoa.
And then you're like, wouldn't that just be hilarious? You pass somebody and then you wipe out because you're being an a-hole. And so, yeah, that's a big fear of mine. Which actually, speaking of that, today, before I came down here, I had to run by the bank. And I was trying to get over in the right-hand lane to pull into the shopping center where the bank is. And this lady wouldn't let me in. So I just wedged my way. I was one of those, she was in a small car, I'm in a truck. I just started getting over. And she was either going to hit me or stop. So she stops, and then she starts giving me the finger and doing all this, and I give her the finger and whatever, because she saw my blinker. So I turn, and she turns. And I'm like, oh, okay. Are you following? Are we going to the same? So then I thought, well, maybe she's just going grocery shopping. So I pull around to the side of the grocery store where the bank is, the drive-up line, and she follows me. And I pull into the bank line, and so does she right behind me. She's going to the bank, too. So now it's awkward because I'm looking
really
back at
awkward.
Her, and she's looking at me, and I'm like, is she going to get out of her car and, like, start screaming at me? But she doesn't. So I do my business with the bank, and then when I'm done, I was like, can you send me an extra deposit slip? So they sent me an extra deposit slip, and I wrote her, thanks for letting me in, bitch. And I left it in the little plastic thing. That's so mean. I'm bullying people at the bank, but, you know, I mean, like, be nice. Be nice. That's the whole thing.
I've told you guys this before.
So I can't imagine her face. Like, she's going to make the deposit.
Unless as soon as she opens it first.
No, because I didn't send it. So okay. She opened it, and the note was right there. There's no way she did not see it. But that's what she gets. Don't be nasty.
I've told you guys this before. The one way to make even like the biggest thug life people who think they're tough, and especially ladies who have really itchy middle fingers, is if you you bring out your cell phone and you pretend like you're videoing them and getting their license plate. I've never seen more people freak out and bail on me. Then I was like, every time I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And I pull my cell phone out. And I just look like I'm videotaping. And it's like either they try and zip 100 miles an hour and get away.
That's like the digital version of tattling, though, right? Like, they're like, oh, I'm telling. Are you going to introduce our friend here?
Yes.
While I eat?
We had, you guys have heard us talk all about how great Cowboys and Indians is right on the outskirts of Midtown, uh-huh. Taft, right off of West uh-huh. Gray. Well, Haas came in the clutch, brought a ton of food. And then I know we had to twist his arm hard, but we told him to stay so he could hang out with us a little bit. So, my man, thank you again, as always. You know what I had? It was fantastic.
Yeah, you're welcome. The quesadillas, the 965 quesadillas.
Dude. Yeah. So, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just telling you, there's quesadillas, samosas, chicken fried steak. We have wings. It's all family recipes.
They didn't believe me when I was telling them, because somebody asked about the samosas, and they didn't believe me when I said that you said your grandmother.
My mom. My aunt. Mom and my aunt.
How many do they make a day?
About 350 to 500.
A day.
I was telling one of the interns, Kelly, that. Now, and he was like, no way. Come on. I go, seriously. And Barry, I brought Barry over. I was like, Barry will back me up on this. Swear to God, why would we lie? But the fact that your family takes that much time to make and care to make them the right way, it's fantastic.
Definitely my partner Imran, his mom, my aunt, they still send us recipes.
Now, why don't you make them? I know this story, but I want you to tell everybody. I'm putting you on the spot.
It's too hard. I'm not that coordinated, I guess.
He was telling me when I took Nora in there, he was like, yeah, I can't, because then like they don't stay together, and then I put them in and they just explode in the fryer.
Yeah, they're supposed to be tight and packed.
Yeah.
That's what the trick is, and no, I don't even know how to do that.
You don't have the patience for it, or you just don't have the skills?
300 a day? No, I don't have the patience or the skills.
That's a lot.
I can watch TV for 300 hours, but I can't do that for 300.
You can binge watch, but you can't binge make?
No, there's no way.
Now, so what is the story behind how Cowboys and Indians came about? Because when I tell people about it, or you know, people always ask, and I hope everyone's going out and trying it, but when people ask, well, what is the food? I'm like, well, it's you know, Southern food, and it's Indian food. Tell everybody where the idea came from, because it's genius.
Well, it's actually my partner Imran and my sister. They were the ones that wanted to do Indian food, because when we were doing construction over there, a lot of the neighbors were coming in and be like, do your own ethnicity, do Indian food, do Indo-Pak food kind of thing. So we thought about it. I've worked in the business for like 12, 15 years, never worked with Indian food before in my life. Like, I've eaten all the time, never done it. Done American, Italian, seafood, all that. And so then we thought about it. I'm like, okay, let's do it kind of thing. So then we told my mom and my aunts and stuff, and my partner's aunt, mom, and stuff. I'm like, okay, let's try it out. And we're going to change the name to something else. And then my sister's like, call it Cowboys and Indians. In the beginning, I didn't want to because we live in a PC world. So I thought, you know, might be a little racist, might be, you know, one of those things.
Right.
And so then finally, about a month later, we're like, okay, let's do Cowboys and Indians. And I guess we were in the perfect location for that kind of name, because I don't think this name would work maybe in Cyprus or Katy or Sugarland. Who knows?
Yeah.
And with me giving in, we're like, okay, let's do it. And finally, that's how we came up. And then my mom and my aunts and Imran, my partner's mom, showed up at the restaurants, started teaching us how to cook. Till this day, they still come in and actually help us.
They still come in and move. You're doing it wrong, right?
Yeah, this time, I'll be there, and I'm like, Mom, forgot the recipe. So I'm like, can you come in? And I'm like, well, since you're here, why don't you just make this, and this for me, too.
How awesome is that?
Are we on air right now?
Yeah. Yeah, you're completely confessing. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is that it's literally nothing is made frozen or bought frozen. Everything is made to order.
Locally sourced beef.
Locally sourced beef, 44 farms.
You're explaining that to us.
44 farms is a Houston meat. It's a Houston meat, actually. Sawgrass and Vic and Anthony's and all them, I think they use this because I think Tillman put an investment in it kind of thing.
So yeah.
I just dropped his name, I guess.
Though. Right. You dropped something there. Pick it up. Yeah.
Right, you know.
I mean, you've been in this business for a while, though, so you know what you're doing, and you have connections. You know people.
Exactly. And then 44 Farms meat, I mean, I know you guys have tried the burgers over there. Even if you had a plain burger without any of the sauce or the condiments on it, it would still taste good. Like, that's how good that meat is.
I mean, yeah.
It is fantastic.
And then, of course, the quesadillas, that was something we were just at work goofing off, and like, I want a quesadilla, and like, we have naan bread. And we have chicken and we have cheese. Let's make it happen kind of thing. You know, like the 65 sauce too. It's a tamarind-based sauce, kind of like an Indian barbecue sauce. That's what we call it, you know?
And dude.
That's what it is.
That's all legit. In fact, we just got a text. Somebody said, I drove from Huntsville to eat at Cowboys and Indians. And that place is fantastic.
Yeah,
so
that's
good.
I had a lot of people from Clear Lake come in. They came in like a month ago, and they're like, yeah, we drove all the way from there just to come see you guys.
I'm
like,
nice. Wow.
So I'm like, I guess the word's spreading. It's been since January.
Yeah.
So it's still baby.
Well, and you're conveniently located, too, because like I said, right on the outskirts of downtown Midtown. But with all the people that are heading out, it's the right spot where either you get there first and then you get a good base and you go out, or on the way out, because you guys are now keeping the grill open late and you're staying open later, people can hit it on the way out before they head home.
Yeah, we're actually now on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, open at 8 o'clock for breakfast now. So we're doing big brunch menu and breakfast menu. And then on Friday and Saturday, we're staying open until midnight because we do get a later crowd. So we've been closing at 10 on the weekends. So we decided let's open a little bit later because by the time my guests that are eating and drinking leave, it's already 11 o'clock anyways. So...
And now you guys were closed on Mondays, and that's changing, right?
Yeah, we're open on Mondays, too. And I do have my Astros now, so...
Oh, you got them back. Thank you. Yeah, I was telling him. I was getting some heat from some of the listeners because I keep pitching to go have a drink at the bar and watch the game, and something happened with the package, but it's back now. So everyone that's hearing this that went and didn't get to watch the game,
sorry.
Go back now. Yeah,
I apologize.
It wasn't y'all's screw-up. It was the cable company, so... Good.
I do apologize. Sorry, guys.
Well, and you said this is also kind of a precursor for college football season because now games start earlier, the Saturday early, the Monday night late. You're going to be ready for all that.
Yeah, Monday night games, Thursday night, Sunday night. We're going to stay open late for the football games with happy hour.
And you and I, we have an event coming up. I'm going to be there for the Cowboys game, right?
Yes, the 31st.
Right? We're still going to make that happen, yeah.
And... Yeah, I have a few goodies coming in, too.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's going to be fun. We're going to put the details around that, but we're going to have a watch party, basically. Anybody that wants to eat, come out and watch the game, Cowboys versus Texans, and enjoy it. It's going to be fun.
Hopefully Deshaun Watson's playing that day.
Yeah, right?
I mean, you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely going to play some.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's definitely going to play some, at least. Is that the third game or the fourth? That's the last game, isn't it?
Yeah, the fourth game.
Well, if he's the backup, he's definitely going to play. So that'll be a good – that he might play –
If he's not.
At least a half. Yeah. If he doesn't play, then we know who the starter
is. That's
right. So either way, it'll be interesting to find out.
Yeah, that's true.
There you have it.
Dude, thank you for bringing this
thanks
food.
Thanks for stopping in again, man.
I'm also waiting for breakfast on Sunday, so I'm putting you on the spot. I'm calling you out live on air.
How about this? Next Sunday, I promise you I'll bring you some breakfast.
Yes!
That? Imagine the quesadillas you had, but imagine a breakfast quesadilla with
them. Oh, see, I love that's my favorite is breakfast, so I'm ready. Great. I'm ready. Yeah. Cool, man.
Yeah, you can just put some in the fridge for me. I'll get them Monday.
I'll bring you some later. How about that?
All right, man. If you, like we said, check out Cowboys and Indians right there on Taft Street, right down the, right by Midtown. But a great spot and great people that own it. Thanks for stopping in.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. I want to take a minute to tell you about a great way to save money on your electricity bill, and it has nothing to do with your electricity company necessarily. It has everything to do with a company called Energy Ogre. Energy Ogre is not an electricity company. They are a technology company that actively monitors the market to save you money by finding the best rate for how you use electricity. And what you do is you sign up with them, you tell them how you use your electricity, they go out and find you the best deal. They manage everything, too. They manage the contracts, they manage the renewals. All you do once you sign up, you sit back and you let them handle everything. Now, you don't lift a finger. It's great. Ever since I signed up in December, my electricity has switched twice. Nothing's changed except the savings. I'm saving on average about, I don't know, $60, $70. I've saved a total of $425 since January by using Energy Ogre. That's why I don't know why you guys aren't doing this, unless you just hate saving money. But you can go to their website. They have a savings calculator. You can tell what you use currently, and that's how you estimate what you can save. Most of their members save between 40 and 60% off their electric bill. Last year alone, they saved their members $21 million. So why aren't you doing this? Like I said, I've saved $425 in my 7 months, and that's after I pay that low $10 monthly fee for their services. No hidden charges, no hassles, no catch. You sign up. If you're not satisfied, you cancel it at any time and go back to using whatever electric company you think you want to use. So why aren't you doing it? Go out to energyogre.com today and sign up, and I'll save you 10 more bucks. Use my promo code Barry. You'll get your 13th month free. That's energyogre.com, promo code Barry.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Into a game may cause a little bit of stress. The plate is certainly one of those. As he sends one into center field, that's a base hit.
Mariznick will come home and score. And the Astros on the board with a Jose Altuve RBI. It's now a 2-1 game. High drive base hit right field. The Astros walk it off. Juan Centeno wins the game after Alex Bregman ties it with a triple.
Nice. It's nice to end the homestand on a better note than we've been playing. And then obviously just a big win. When you get a walk-off, it's the... You know, one of the best closers in the league. We score four. We go from a pretty down flight to a pretty happy flight. So it's nice to come away with a win. However improbable it was, our guys kept fighting really big hits.
Special thanks to Blummer Todd and the AT&T Sportsnet TV crew, as well as AJ Hinch in his post game. The Astros, no doubt, had a lot of people that were really down heading into the ninth inning yesterday. Turning that frown upside down in the ninth. What a comeback. This, along with that, was it the A's game where they came from way back, and a Twins game where they just kept persevering. But this one right here is going to be one you kind of check off on the calendar as well and go, this is one where if they had lost, and Todd Callis had already set up the audience to say, hey, unless they make some miracle comeback, the Red Sox are going to be like 7.5 back, and suddenly you're going to start looking at them in the rearview mirror a little bit. And instead, they have this miraculous comeback, and they start the road trip with a smile.
It's just what the doctor ordered. I mean, honestly, this is getting that kind of win, a walk-off win, which they hadn't had one since April, to have a walk-off win against, like AJ Hinch said, a really good closer.
Mm-hmm.
And to do all that, and have a young kid, have your young kids doing it, you know what I mean? And it's just, I feel like that was a big relief. You could almost feel the relief from fans on the team. So I think that came at the perfect time for this team. So we'll see if it translates. You know, you never know in baseball. But yeah, that's a big win, and hopefully, I'm not a big believer of momentum in baseball. I don't believe that's the case because you change pitchers. It's not always the same. If it's the same team, that might be, you know what I mean? Like basketball, I could see that. But when you change pitchers and stuff like that, I'm not as big of a proponent of it. But attitude wise, I think this certainly helps. You know what I mean?
No question.
And then I find it interesting when I'm driving in that Sean and John were mentioning that the Astros were pursuing Verlander, and that they had, you know, a source that was saying that they're ramping up talks about making that happen. And I think that they were right when they said that that's probably has something to do with the fact that, you know, you've got the injuries, you're in a bit of a downturn right now, but also Dallas Keuchel's words may have had a lot to do with that. So hopefully, you know, if everyone knows they're going after Verlander, that's giving them some energy. This gives them some energy. So that could be a really good thing for this team.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say is that the one thing that they're maybe you had said earlier, and people didn't take it to heart enough, but yeah, sure, they could use a starting pitcher, but they also could use some help in that bullpen, because lately the bullpen has been letting them down and giving Houston an ulcer, because even when the starting pitching is good enough to get you a W, the bullpen has found a way to cough it up late, and that's what's frustrating as well.
Yeah, I mean, the starters haven't been that terrible. Right. I mean, when you consider they're coming back from injury, so maybe that's it, or if McCullers wasn't fully healthy. But yeah, that bully, man, it scares me a little bit, you know. But again, it's going to be shortened. You're not going to see these guys. A lot of the guys that you saw Goodwin pitch last night, mm-hmm. Martez, you may never see unless it's a blowout one way or the other. Who you'll probably see in the playoffs it's a very short list.
Will Harris.
Yeah, it's going to be Davinsky, Harris, Gregerson, and Giles. That's going to be the four guys that you see the most in the playoffs. Now, if a starter gets shelled in the first couple of innings, you might see Fiers or Peacock. Or if these guys are tired or they're not, you know, they're off their game, then you might see those guys. But you're going to see whoever your three or four starters are. I would say three at the most, in the beginning at least. So whoever those three guys are, plus those four bullpen guys I just named, that's who you'll see the most.
Yeah, and the big thing, too, is with the cushion as big as it is, they're going to get those guys out there. They're going to get the guys, whether they're going to use them in the playoffs or not, just some experience, just in case. So Martez is going to see the field, and he's going to get on the mound, and he's going to take his lumps, and he's going to do what he's got to do. Guys like that. The only thing that worries me, Barry, about all of this is the fact that Devo, who, like everybody said, and Hinch even addressed the fact that, look, everybody wanted him on the mound more than he even was on the mound in the first half of the season, but maybe he's got a little bit... wear and tear, a tired arm, I don't know, but he doesn't look like the same Chris Devinsky as he looked like when he was making that all-star push in the first half.
Isn't that funny? That's happened twice now. You had Will Harris make the all-star team, and then he faltered, and now you had Devo go in, make the all-star team look good, and now he's stumbling a little bit. Well, fortunately, if that's the case, then that can be solved with rest. And when you have September call-ups and you expand that roster and you can have more arms in that pen, and if the lead is big enough and you know that you would have to just lose every single game and the Mariners would have to win every game, then you can rest Devo for the playoffs. So I think they're okay there, as long as that's the case.
Right.
You know, if it's a nagging injury that he's not telling anyone, that's a little bit of a different story, but hopefully it's fatigue.
Yeah, the circle of death now looks like the circle of intensive care. It's not quite as devastating, but it's still there. But
somebody texted the show and said, "Hey guys, I tweeted y'all over the weekend about it not being a coincidence when the Astros come on your show, they get their mojo back. Can you do us all a favor and bring in the entire Astros pitching staff?"
We should just start with the bullpen and work our way back.
Yeah.
I tweeted the same thing because no coincidence, Josh Reddick, since he went on our show, has just been on fire, had a great 15 to 30 days. So we'll try and get everybody that we can on. But speaking of people that we get on, thanks to our good man, Nick, former Commissioner Faye Vincent, who has been in the news lately about legalizing gambling, which he thinks is going to be coming around the horizon for all of professional sports, will join us next. He can talk about Bagwell and Bud Selig going into the Hall of Fame and a whole lot more. So a good show already is going to be even better when the former commissioner joins us next on The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is our very distinct pleasure to bring in the former commissioner of baseball right now, Faye Vincent. Faye in the news recently, not only with the induction of Bud Selig, also, we wanted to get his thoughts on Jeff Bagwell, but also the legalization of gambling and how that's going to affect the value of franchises in Major League Baseball and maybe beyond. Mr. Vincent, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Can you kind of, just for starters, kind of elaborate on the article that I was reading about the fact that you really believe franchise values are going to go up? I know the Marlins are for sale and people have been talking about franchises, but you came out and said, I think the next progression and step is that gambling is going to become legal and it's going to really affect the value of franchises.
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. Look, the estimate is that the value of the size of the business of gambling on all sports in this country this year is about $150 billion with a B dollars. That's an enormous amount of money. And nobody's really sure how accurate it is, but it may be low. It's the best estimate. That's an astonishing amount of money to be spreading around sports. Point two, the Supreme Court has taken the New Jersey appeal, and that means that the court is going to decide whether the 1989 statute, and I supported it, I testified before Congress, they're going to decide whether that statute's constitutional. That statute says betting can only take place in Nevada. Now, that's like saying corn can only be grown in Iowa. That statute may be unconstitutional. I think it's at least a reasonable guess that it is. If that's true, then we're going to have the prohibition against gambling in all sports lifted. There'll be no federal statute. Congress can try to do something, but they certainly can't do it and limited it to one state. And thirdly, whether Congress does it or the Supreme Court does it or whatever happens, the American public are already betting billions of dollars on sports. That means eventually it's going to affect franchises because the intellectual property right to the name Yankees and Red Sox and Astros belongs to the baseball franchise owners and to the league. So it seems to me that the astonishing thing is there isn't more attention being paid, and people are not thinking about it. I don't know that anybody's planning on what to do. There's been very little reported about it. I read the press every day. There's never an article about it.
What would you say to folks that say, you know, widespread legalized gambling could contribute to or could compromise the integrity of the game? Because I hear that being said sometimes when you talk about just legalizing gambling everywhere.
I don't think there's any question about it. But the fact is it's already going on, and it doesn't seem to have had an enormous effect. Other than Pete Rose, I don't know of a case in baseball in the last 50 years, 75 years. And I don't know, we had the NBA with a referee. I mean, occasionally we hear about basketball, but I haven't heard much about the other sports. So I'd be less concerned about that. I think it's a real problem. Do you let players bet? Do you let umpires bet? What do you do about officials? I mean, there are all sorts of tough questions. I don't have any of the answers. I'm just saying that the reality is it's a huge business, way more than anybody ever expected. The amount of money that the franchises would get is enormous. The NBA wants that money. Adam Silver's already said he wants it legal, and they're a big factor. They're one of the three major sports.
So follow up, because you mentioned Pete Rose. Have you changed? Has your mind changed at all on the whole Pete Rose situation and the ban from baseball?
No, I think what Pete Rose did was a violation of baseball's rules at the time. The only rule that gets you thrown out for life is the betting on a game in which you have an interest. I think even if legalized betting comes to sports, it's going to be a very tough debate over whether we let players bet. And if we do, how are you going to get word around? Look, the gamblers control the press now with respect to football. All these announcements during the week about injuries in football, they're for the benefit of the gamblers. Football, the NFL is obviously enormously affected by the amount of money bet on football. And of that $150 billion, I bet you a very substantial percentage is bet on football. Now, some of it's in college football, but a lot of it is professional. I mean, that's just the reality.
Faye Vincent joining us on the HRP listener line. Mr. Vincent, we want to talk a little bit about, of course, what's on everybody's mind here in Houston, and that was the induction of one Jeff Bagwell. A very special weekend to see Baggy get in, especially following closely on Craig Biggio and the fact that the franchise now has their two cornerstones in the Hall of Fame, and your thoughts on the entire weekend at the Hall of Fame.
Well, and the name John McMullen was never mentioned. I mean, I thought he had a lot to do with that franchise. He's pretty well forgotten. He was a great friend of mine. And I know he was very, very close to both Bagwell and beyond, and the others. I mean, I think Bagwell's from Connecticut. I always thought very highly of him. I think about the trade when Bagwell was traded by the Red Sox. They had two third basemen ahead of him, and McMullen was persuaded to trade a relief pitcher for Bagwell.
Larry Anderson.
And he said to me, I didn't know what to do with Bagwell. And he said, Yogi said, put him at first base. He can play first base. He can sure hit. Well, that was, Yogi made, as usual, a very great contribution to Bagwell and to McMullen and to Houston. And I think it's long forgotten. But that move to first base, because you had Caminiti there at Houston, and nobody was going to beat him out. With Bagwell moving to first base, the Red Sox never thought of that. But that was Yogi.
Talk a little bit about what's going on in the game nowadays. I mean, you see they're trying to speed up the game. They're trying to, you know, you've got instant replay, which I would love your thoughts on that first. How do you think baseball is handling instant replay, and do you approve?
Well, I think the thing that's most interesting to me is how well the umpires like it. The umpires really love it because it means they don't have any big fights anymore. They have fights over whether a guy checks his swing or, you know, occasionally something at home plate, balls and strikes, but very rarely on any play on the field, because replay settles all all doubts. I think it still can be tinkered with and made better. I think as time goes on, they'll get more efficient with it. Somebody said they ought not to have the delay while each club goes into its own research and a guy looks at the tape and then says yes or no in terms of the challenge. I mean, maybe you ought to have the managers just do the challenge on their own eyesight. But those are fly specks. I think by and large it's worked, and I'm a traditionalist. I didn't think it was a great idea. I thought it was going to delay the game. It does a little bit. But I think people are very well satisfied to have the right answer. And if a guy's out at first by a nanosecond, he gets called out. And that's very encouraging to people who want to see and they want to see the right result.
As a former commissioner, I'd love your thoughts on automating the strike zone. I mean, they have the technology now. You see it on every broadcast. What are your thoughts on eliminating the umpire and that judgment from the strike zone?
Well, again, I'm always on the side of human fallibility because we're all fallible. I think the technology in a three-dimensional framework like that is very tricky because the ball is moving not just up and down but through the length and width of the home plate. And I think electronics three-dimensionally is a very tricky game. If they can get it right, I suspect it will eventually take over. I would delay and delay and delay because I think the human dimension judgment is very important. And I don't think you're ever going to get rid of umpires. So I think it's probably better to rely on them and their instinct. They have a sense about the game, too. I remember an umpire telling me that the ball clips the knee of the forward knee and then drops suddenly and is in the dirt when the catcher catches it. He said, if I call that a strike, I'm going to have fights from the dugout. I'll have to throw two or three people out of the game. Game's going to be delayed 25 minutes. He said, if I call it a ball, it's not a ball. It's a strike. But I call it a ball because I don't want to have fights. Everybody gets used to that pitch being a ball, and we go about our business. I kind of like that result. I think that home plate umpire was a friend of mine, was doing baseball a service. Sometimes the right answer is going to produce the wrong result.
Question on the designated hitter, simply because it's a conversation that still kind of rears its head and people talk about, do you ever perceive that there's going to be a day when we'll have the same set of rules and either no designated hitter in both leagues or a designated hitter in both leagues? Do you ever see equality across the board for both leagues and the designated hitter either going away or both leagues going to it?
I think there will be equality eventually. I think it'll be the National League rule that will get eliminated. That is, I don't think pitchers will ever hit in both leagues. Part of that is that I think that the union is very opposed without adding players. And I think there has to be equality. I think the World Series is an example of, you know, whichever team has the home field advantage has an advantage because it's either a team with or without the designated hitter. And we saw what happens when the Red Sox had Ortiz and he couldn't play first base anymore. That was a big disadvantage in postseason. So, yes, I think it will be unified. I think the American League rule will probably, the designated hitter rule will go across baseball. And I think the National League game, because it's the traditional game and the game we all grew up with, is the right answer. But I think the American League rule will prevail.
Faye, last question before we let you go. We know you're busy, but as a former commissioner, give me your grade of Rob Manfred and the job that he's doing with baseball.
Well, I never do answer that because I don't know enough. I think that from the outside, he seems, look, there's labor peace. That's the essential ingredient. He's a labor lawyer. He knows that fighting with the union cannot be done. I was a victim of that. I mean, Selig fought with it and had trouble with it for many years. And then he got, after 94, he realized you can't fight with the union. The union's going to win every fight. And so one of the good things about all this talk about additional money is when you bring tons and tons of money to baseball, you're going to increase everybody's take enormously. And I think that revolution, the coming of gambling, is going to make all of these sports enormously more affluent. And the players, everybody involved, compensation is going to go through the roof. So I think Manfred has got a hell of a job ahead to deal with gambling one way or the other. And I think we ought to let him go through that.
Faye Vincent there on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Sir, we appreciate your time. We know you're busy. And, of course, a special kudos to you as Bud Selig singled you out in his speech. And we know it was very deservingly so. So have a great week, and thanks so much for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Faye Vincent's been our guest right there on The Usual Suspects, the former commissioner with some good stuff on gambling and the Hall of Fame and rules and a whole lot more. We're going to take a quick break and be back with a whole lot more of the show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects, coming back off of a very good get by one Nicholas Sciarra, getting former Commissioner of Baseball Faye Vincent. Interesting, Barry, you and I were talking about it at the break, but it would be really neat to get the technology for the strike zone and not slow the game down.
Yep.
So that, and you and I were talking about ways to do that, but it would be great if right inside the umpire's mask, visible to his eye, you'd get like a green light, red light, and the minute, you know, within seconds of the ball crossing home plate, his mask would either have a green light or a red light to show what the pitch was, and he could make the call. But I think overall, umpires would love the fact that technology could get them off the hook in certain cases so that...
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, the rule, what everybody always says, the main end result is to get the call right.
Right. And, you know, like we were saying, you have to wonder how would they do that. Well, you said the mask. I still think you could use the hand clicker that they keep the balls and strikes on and just have that light up red or blue, and then he makes the call, so he still does the hand signal. He still yells out strike. They can still use that flare of a ball or a strike that the umpires like to do. The hitter still hears it. The catcher hears it. The pitcher sees it. Everyone in the park sees it. But it's just, you know, I mean, you could use Bluetooth technology or something like that to get the information from K-Zone. Because my thing is, get it right. I don't care if it's automated or if it's a human being. I just want it done right. Mm-hmm. So, because like you said, with that perfect game where if you gave up a walk and that was a judgment call, now you're the a-hole. But if K-Zone does it, hey, don't argue with me. And then that saves time because why are the managers going to argue with the umpire on something that's being automated or computerized?
Think about it. You go back to the Cardinals-Royals World Series with the missed call at first base, the perfect game for the Tigers pitcher that was taken away by a call that later the umpire had to admit he blew. But if they could have had the technology to right then and there go to the replay so that they got it right, that umpire is going to live with that call the rest of his life, and that's what he's known for. And if he could get that off his shoulders, he would have gladly said replay would have been the thing to do.
Because, I mean, that's why you have replay to begin with, right? You have replay on the base paths and so forth to get the call right. Because that's, at the end of the day, that's what matters. It's not how you get the call right.
Right.
It's the fact that the call was done correctly. And like he said, well, you know, if a ball comes in and clips the knees and hits the dirt and I call that a strike, then I've got to argue with the manager. So what? The fact is that was a strike. Why are you changing the rules of baseball so you don't have to argue with a manager? That part I disagree with.
Yeah.
A strike is now the pitcher who has to suffer because he can make an outstanding pitch that catches the zone and dives into the dirt all in the same pitch, but he's now punished because you don't want to argue with a manager or delay the game.
But
a little
is that
bit.
Still happening till this day, or is that more?
I think here's the thing.
Dude,
I think
there's egregious calls just because it looks like a strike. It looks like a ball as opposed to actually being in or out of the strike zone. It's
that's
ridiculous.
A short-term problem. I think if managers, just the same way they go to the phones and go to their replay guys and say, check that. But if the proof is in the pudding, if you can come back as an umpire and go, hey, look, to you in the dugout, that might have looked like a ball, But if you go back and look at it in your video department, you're going to find out real quick where it crossed was a strike.
Yep.
And I think the long-term managers would have to be open to the fact that, hey, it may look funky from the dugout, but as long as you get the call right, that's all. I think that's what everybody at the end of the day is after. As long as you get the calls right so you don't run into the situations where you have a World Series basically lost because of a bad call or a perfect game thrown away because of a bad call. And you look at the Tigers pitcher, that was it for him. I mean, he gave it his all, but the one thing he could hang his hat on for the rest of his life was, I threw a perfect game in the major leagues, but instead, it was thrown away by a bad call.
Yep. Ozzie Scott says, sorry, but a strike is a strike. Not for an umpire to decide. He does not feel like calling one. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's like, it is or it isn't. This isn't the rules aren't gray. That's why they're called rules. It's black or white. It's a strike or a ball. There's no judgment based on a rule. You know what I mean? That shouldn't be the case. That's why in some, you know, this is a results game. This isn't a judge game where it's not like gymnastics where, you know, I might see that routine a little bit different than you. It's either a ball or a strike. You're either safe or you're out. You know what I mean? I don't know. It just seems silly that you've got these old school guys, which I love having him on, but you can tell he's old school.
Yeah, no
doubt.
He
would prefer to watch pitchers bat in the NL. Because that's the way baseball was invented. That's great. Basketball was invented without a three-point line. But I love the fact that exists now.
Good call.
You know what I mean? Football was invented without the forward pass. Do you want to sit around and watch dudes run nonstop now? Because that makes it so one-dimensional? No. Sports evolve because they're entertainment for us.
Barry, you got to prove to him why he should get rid of his rotary phone. Because otherwise, he still believes that as long as it's next to his big chair, it's a good thing,
He's still getting the foil Hungry Man and warming them up in the oven. He's like, I will not get a microwave. I do not care about this newfangled technology.
Commissioner Vincent, do you still work out? I go to my TV and change the channel at least 5 times a day.
I lift bags of sand in the yard. What? Like, you know they have weight machines. I will not be a slave to technology.
Boy, I better hope he's not listening.
Well, I mean, it's the truth.
He's probably in the East Coast.
Yeah, it's the truth, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny because he's so progressive about gambling. Like,
I was just going
to
say.
But he's a traditionalist when it comes to baseball. And don't get me wrong, there are tons of traditionalists, and I respect that. But the sport has to evolve. Baseball,
but he did acknowledge that it would compromise the integrity of the game, but a part of the reason why he didn't really give a take on whether or not it should happen. He just thinks it's inevitable because the American public is already so deep into it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to think that people aren't betting. Now, a lot of people don't gamble on baseball like they do basketball and especially football and like UFC. But there's gambling that goes on in baseball for sure. People bet on the games.
But look at the daily fantasy sports business. It's huge. And the fact that at first, professional sports leagues were going to ban that or try and do something against it. And then they realized how much extra revenue and money teams were making because they already got sponsorships from these companies and they know that that's what everybody's into. There's no way that they have to be progressive and realize, look, we can fight this and be old school and look crotchety, or we can be open to it and realize, hey, here's a whole new revenue stream we didn't see coming that could be good for the whole sport.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem is going to be for every Tim Donahue or Pete Rose, every close call or every questionable human error on a field is going to start to be with a finger pointed to it like, did he have something going on there? It's going to be James Harden in game 6 all over again.
But you think that's not happening, though? I mean, that's the thing is you can still place a bet. So, I mean, Pete Rose, it wasn't legal. Pete Rose could still, you can still go to Vegas. I can still, I'm an athlete. I got millions of dollars. I could go to Vegas and say, you know what I mean? I want to gamble on this. There's websites that you can hit up now. If these guys want to bet, they can already do that. It's just not legal. That's mm-hmm. the only difference. So if you feel like that's going to compromise the game, I personally don't think it would because they can already bet on the game and throw the game if they want
to.
College players can do it. Football players can do it. And it's not legal everywhere. So, I mean, it can still be done.
No, I'm with you. And especially if it's one person that can completely change the game, though, the outcome of the game, that's
scary. I mean, it's as a pitcher, you can really affect the game way more than you know, a guy in the field or a batter or whatever.
The whole ball game's in your hand.
Yeah, so I mean, that's who you got to really watch. And oh, I just didn't have my best stuff. I couldn't control the ball. It was you know, I was finding too much of the zone, whatever, and just blow it off as that. So that's you kind of work. But they could do that anyways. Honestly, you don't think a pitcher right now couldn't go out, make a huge bet on tonight's game somewhere anonymously or through a friend, go out and throw the game? Yeah, they can already do that.
What about
just
when your best player in basketball doesn't score?
What? Oh, somebody texted in and said the only reason I know Jim Joyce is because he robbed Galarraga of a perfect game.
That's what I'm talking about. Jim Joyce robbed Galarraga of the Tigers, and Galarraga was only known for that and really kind of faded off after that. But to be able to say for the rest of his life he threw a perfect game in the major leagues, huge.
Yep.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We got Texans news to get to. One of the guys you wanted the Texans to bring in for that second wide receiver spot is no longer available. And a big man who really fills out a pair of overalls decides to call it a career. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more show here on The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5. I wish that I could fly into
the sky. This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.